Well, the youth group wants me to come and be Santa Claus tonight.
Oh, fun.
Which I think would be fun to do. So I'm texting back and forth with the youth guys. They're like, will you do this? I'm like, yeah, probably. I'm usually in for a good time.
I was just going to say, it's amazing how like you're like, no, I have a quiet night. I'm not going to do a whole lot. Oh, that's the idea?
Santa?
Yeah, I'll do that. That's fine. Yeah. It's Ainsley does that to me all the time. I mean, I think if you're a parent, kids know how to pull those strings or push those buttons. Like, I'll be ready to like, okay, kid, let's put you to bed. I'm done for the night or whatever. And it's like, well, can you? And then she'll talk about the different things that we sometimes read at night or this like little stuffed animal that sometimes I puppet with her and stuff. I'm like, okay, fine. We'll do that too. You know, like, and we end up spending an extra half hour together or whatever. And yeah, it's the right things
are
the right
things. I'm a sucker for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, your host, and I'm excited to dive into our topic for today. In this world where everyone, from news outlets to comedians, friends to advertisements, it seems everyone has a strong opinion on how we should think and live and make decisions, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by all that noise. And when everyone's offering different advice, how do we cut through the confusion? How do we sift through the information overload and determine what truly governs our lives? As we navigate these challenging questions, we want to be a resource that helps you process and pray through some of the day's most pressing issues. So let's go ahead and jump right in. You know, I say let's jump in every week, Jeff, and neither of us ever jump.
Yeah, we just sit here.
We just sit here.
But a sit-in doesn't quite sound right.
So pull a chair up to the table.
Sit here.
Stop running.
Yeah.
Or keep running.
Yeah. Bob Ball, you should run.
Oh, man. Bob Ball, like probably the biggest celebrity at Grace Church.
Oh, yeah. He's huge.
Yep. All right. Well, Jeff, all lightheartedness kind of aside, our question comes today actually from a pretty heavy-hearted listener. They asked this, how do I pray when I'm going through an indefinite trial? Mm. Do I ask God to help push me through it and endure it? Do I ask him to deliver me from it? I know that leaning on God through trials brings me closer to him, so I actually feel weird asking God to take hard things away. But the Bible's clear that God does provide healing and deliverance from time to time, so how do I pray when I'm going through a trial that seems indefinite?
Yeah, so both of those things are very valid prayers.
Yes, they are.
That you endure it and that you are delivered from it. The thing with trials, it's so hard, I think, because when we think about trials, we think about them from a human point of view. And from a human point of view, when I look at a trial, I think to myself, what I want is I want this trial to be over. Our greatest fear with trials is not always that we would go through trials, but that this trial might become my life.
Hmm.
And that this is the life that God has called me to, and this is the life that he's built for me. And so if it was just a trial, if I could identify it, if God was like, you know what, 6 months and you're out, you could navigate it, you could figure it out. But when a life changes and you're like, my life is disappointing, or my life is substantially harder than I wanted it to be, that's when it, I think, personally, I think that's when it becomes difficult. So can you ask God to change your life? Of course you can ask God to change your life. Can God change your life? Of course he can change your life, and sometimes he does. Does he change your life exactly the way that you want him to? Not usually, but sometimes, but not usually. But if God has called you to that, and somehow in his infinite purpose and his infinite plan, that's his plan for you, that's where that endurance comes in. And the old words for it in the Bible were long-suffering, because it's through your suffering and through your endurance that you're gonna wind up making the biggest impact for the kingdom of God.
It's interesting when we think of the I just blanked on the name of that passage. It's in Exodus 34 that talks about the characteristics of God.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like repeated dozens of times. It's like he's good and merciful and he's long-suffering. That's why I'm thinking of it. I think sometimes we have to suffer certain things so that we can understand God better.
Yeah.
Like if we think about the things that God suffers with his children that he loves so much, like, well, it's easy, you're God. But it's like, no, he is grieved, he is hurt, he is watching people self-destruct and destroy and hurt one another, and yet he is patient and long-suffering, and he's not just saying, you know what, let's snap everything out of existence or back to normal and that's it, you're done. And
yeah,
it's like, no, he's showing us what that looks like. So yeah, I think you're right. There's a lot of nuance behind what God's asking us to go through and why.
Well, I would just build on that, and I would say another way to ask this question would be to say, how deep of a relationship do you want with God?
Mm.
If you want a quote-unquote normal, regular, God kind of makes my life happy, I kind of serve him relationship with God, then you will only pray for deliverance, and you will only feel loved and feel heard by God if he delivers you. Mm. And it's usually in the way that you want to be delivered. There's usually caveats to it.
Yep.
If you want to share in the sufferings of Christ, and so somehow to know him and the power of his resurrection, like the Apostle Paul talks about, then suffering, nothing will draw you closer to understanding the character, the heart, and the will of God than suffering.
Hmm.
And so some of the people who walk the most deeply with God are some of the people who walk in the greatest pain in their life. And that's why you wind up respecting them and you wind up honoring them. You don't usually wind up honoring the person who hit life's lottery.
Mm-hmm.
You wind up kind of being jealous of them. But when you see somebody who has suffered, when you see Nelson Mandela, who spent decades in prison, when you see the suffering the Apostle Paul went mm-hmm. through, when you see the suffering of Mother Teresa, when you see the suffering of Johnny Erickson Tada, mm-hmm. you're like, you listen to them differently, you respect them differently, and their life has a very different impact
mm-hmm.
Than the guy who makes six figures, God let him buy the house that they wanted, and they go to church once a week.
You know, I mean, on a lighter note, this is why we love stories of the underdog, because they've suffered through something more to find themselves at the place of victory.
Yeah. Yeah, Philip Rivers playing in the NFL this week. You know, he's 44, brought back. He was the biggest story. He didn't even win.
Right.
You know, but he had to go through something to get there. So you just, when you weigh life, like right now, I do this, we all do this, and I don't want to be misunderstood, I don't think it's wrong,
mm-hmm.
but we tend to weigh our walk with God based on how much God brings ease, comfort, and answers our prayers the way he wants them answered in our lives. And we would look and say, well, God is good because I was sick and God healed me. God is good because I was under financial pressure and God took it away. And we would tend to look and say, that's my definition of God's goodness in our life. We would tend to really struggle with, God is good because he gave me an affliction that won't go away.
Mm-hmm.
But option B is a much stronger testimony and influence for the kingdom than option A.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, do you pray that it can go away? I'm like, I would totally be praying that. Is God going to take it away? I'm like, well, he might. You know, he might do that. Do you learn to endure it? I'm like, enduring is different than accepting this is my life. Endurance is different than contentment. Because even endurance is, we think of it as temporary in nature. I'll suck it up and take this pain longer than I wanted to, and that's endurance. Contentment that the scripture talks about is, Paul says, I was content when I had a lot. I was content when I had little. I was content when I was hungry. I was content when I was well-fed. I was content when I was clothed. I was content when I was naked. And the Bible calls us to live for that. So the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is not about the PR on your deadlift. That verse is actually about contentment. Mm-hmm. I can be content because God strengthens me to be content. All of that is tied to how does God want to use your life, mm-hmm. and how what level of megaphone do you want to have for the gospel? The higher the pain, the greater the megaphone. Mm-hmm. You know, so it we really have to wrap our head around it. And it's okay to say, God, can you take this pain away?
Right.
You know, you're not disobeying him or being shallow in your faith. But it's a different perspective that as a Christ follower, we would look at the world through.
It's interesting. As you said that, my mind went to kind of the simplistic. We tend, as at least culturally, maybe many of us, to think our relationship with God is going well depending upon how much God does what we want. You didn't say it exactly like that, but that's kind of what we mean and feel when we think through that way, as opposed to the opposite of how well is my life or my relationship with God based on how well I'm connecting with what God wants. Like, and I don't know if how often we cognitively think of this, but he's God and we're not.
Yeah.
This isn't two friends. I mean, he can be our friend. He can be a friend like no other, but he's God.
Yeah.
Like, so this isn't like, I wonder what God's opinion is, and here's my opinion. I'm going to weigh the two and do one or the other. He's God. And so if we're weighing the success of our relationship based on how much he bends a knee to us, that's dangerous.
Yeah. And it's really the predominant thought in mm-hmm. Christianity right now, at least Western Christianity, is that God lives a Jeff-centric life instead of Jeff living a Jesus-centric life. Mm-hmm. And the great temptation, and it's everywhere. I was watching, I like to watch preaching clips on, Instagram. I was watching some, and the preacher was like, I'm believing this year that God's going to prosper you, that your goals are going to become realities. I'm believing this year God's going to bless you. He's going to make you healthy. I'm like, why would you believe that?
Like, yeah. Thanks for not using my name.
Yeah.
No.
but yeah. Joe's last sermon was a humdinger.
Yeah, and by last you mean last. He's never doing it again.
Yeah, but I'm like, where would you get that from? Like, you made that up.
Yep.
Everything in the scripture is about us falling on our face before God and God using our life and us fully surrendering and dying to ourselves mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't, but it's a Western shift in the centrality of who God is, where we would look and say, God's job is to make my life go well. My job is to pay God for that. And the scripture would be like, no, everything revolves around God. Mm-hmm. I am a servant, I'm a vessel, I'm a tool that is in his hands to accomplish his purpose. And that's what the prayer is. Like, mm-hmm. God can do all things through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's like, I can accept something I don't want to accept if Jesus strengthens me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can go through it if he strengthens me to do it. I just want to also say, again, it's not shallow to say, God, I don't want to do that. Jesus said that.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yep. Yeah, he's like, if there's a way you can take this cup from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you praying a prayer that Jesus prayed is a wrong prayer.
Right.
But the answer was no, and then the rest of that prayer is not my will but yours be done.
Yeah. I do think that prayer— it means a lot, and I don't think the main reason he prayed it was for this conversation, but I think it's pivotal to this conversation.
Yeah.
Like you said, if the human being, the fully man of Jesus himself could say, I would really rather not be crucified. I would really rather not be whipped and beaten. I would really rather not have to go through this experience. But the fully God and the fully devoted man in Jesus said, but not my will, but yours.
Yeah.
Like, because it's going to be worth it. And literally praise him that he did go through it because he changed everything.
Yeah.
And so it was worth it. Now, is your life going to save humanity? No. But we don't know what our life and our life's message and what that story and what that inspiration and what your long suffering and all that kind of, what it ends up meaning to people that you love and the people you've never met before.
Yeah.
We don't know. God does, which might be why he's asking us to walk through it. Well, Jeff, I in some ways, this is one of our shorter episodes. We kind of knew that going into it. But I think that we don't want to overly belabor this topic. I don't want to pander, and I don't want to belittle people and what they're going through. It's a real thing to suffer through some of these long trials. But God's faithfulness in being with us and utilizing our life effectively when we're aligned with him is kind of the overarching principle.
Yeah, I think, guys, you're getting up every day and saying, what is God going to do through me instead of what is God going to do for me?
Yeah.
It's a very powerful prayer. It has real ramifications to it, and it doesn't mean that life is happy, but this is what the Apostle Paul says, these are light momentary struggles. I hate suffering as much as the next person. Mm-hmm. I'm not like some super leader on this kind of a thing. If I get sick, I'm like, Lord, deliver me, you know, kind of a thing. But I also see what God does, and I see how he works through pain. And I've seen it again and again and again, how someone in pain who will praise God in the midst of it has a voice and an authority that someone who's in prosperity doesn't have.
Yeah. Well, I hope this helps our listener as they've asked this question. And like many of our questions, I hope this helps many, many more of us who we have our own version of the thing that we're suffering through for a while. And especially as we kind of turn the corner on the new year, I really pray that as we're thinking ahead of what God can do through us, not just for us, becomes a major theme in our lives. Thank you for checking out this episode today of Mixed Messages. If you've got questions that you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. And we'd also love to hear how these things are helping you. So don't be a stranger. Talk to us, reach out, let us know what's going on. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend, whether in person or whether you're checking us out online. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.